Good morning. Tough act to follow. Faithful through the ages. Amen for that. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the remembrance service, Taylor's song, and just calm our hearts now as we dig into your word, Lord. May it be a blessing. And just pray for those that many could not make it today. Many are sick. We pray for them as they watch at home. Pray they would heal up. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was asked to do this, I had been studying in Jude. It's a great book. It's only one chapter, one page, but it really packs a punch. And I was thinking as I read it a couple times, I go, you know, this is just like a briefing. Many of you probably have briefings from your teams. You give briefings or receive them. We had them at work three times a day, three shifts a day. Each shift had a briefing. Jude is short, like a briefing, and it starts, he's explaining current issues, which were going along, happening in the church at the time, and then he gives instructions and assignments, same as a briefing. And then at the end, he provides encouragement. It's just a one-chapter briefing. And we would get things like officer safety issues, what's going on, where we having problems, if there's a special assignment that day, all that would be in a briefing. So Jude is redirected right off the bat. In verse 3, he says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which once for all handed down to the saints." So as the Holy Spirit worked on him, and immediately in the first verse, he veered off and he wants to deal what's going on with the church. They were having massive problems in their church. People causing dissension. They were deniers of Christ. Just creating havoc. In verse 4, he describes their behavior and who they were. He says, "For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord." Horrible thing for a church to go through. And Satan just loves this. He thrives on it when there's dissension in the church, among the members, and problems. He wants, as Dean said in his blog this week, Satan wants nobody to get saved in the church. Yeah, whenever there's problems going on, Satan thrives on that. This contend earnestly that Jude talks about, in the first book, in the old times, it was a Greek word that meant to compete in an athletic contest and then to fight, struggle, and strive. Our word agonize comes from that Greek word. So when he says contend earnestly, it means give it our all, united for Christ. Agonize means give it everything you got. I know there's some people not here today, but you may be watching at home that are big Padre fans. I happen to be in the other camp, my lowly Giants. And I'm sure they watched the last couple games. If you watch them when they play, they're now tied for the top spot in the wild card, and they're even pushing the Dodgers right now. They play hard, they play right, they play crisp, they hit, and they pitch very well too. 37 Giant strikeouts, I think, in the last three games. The Giants, they're not contending. It looks like they're going, it looks like they're going through the motions. They're making mistakes, silly plays. They're not contending. We want to contend with intensity, like the Padres are doing. That's, I think, 4 points. That's the first point. Contend earnestly for the faith. Our faith is not a casual faith. It's our life, and Christ gave his life that we might have life in him. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's what we want, how we want to fight. Those are active words, take hold and fight. It's not just some kind of passive behavior. We're in a spiritual battle, and we're in a constant war with the enemy, which is Satan. Our faith lies in Jesus Christ, as Taylor sang, written in the Word of God, which we study deeply, earnestly, not like a glance of an article on the internet or a newspaper article or what you might do tomorrow. Well, let's see how Brock Purdy did yesterday, just a casual glance. We want to dig into the Word. We also don't support any revisions or additions. Some churches have made additions to the Bible. They have different chapters, and that is just flat-out sin. The Bible is complete. We preach only the Word of God here. No false teaching here. You know, one of my duties in the parking lot, which you see me up there almost every week, I welcome the guests and feel them out a little, and I take them down because to show them where the entrance is. And when they came in, it was during the message, and they saw a bunch of verses on the screen, and they sat through the message. And after the message, they said, you know, we knew this was a good church as soon as we saw the verses on the screen. That was Alan's message, by the way. We stick to the Word of the God, Word of God, and we don't shy away from the cross or the blood of Christ, as you can see on the banner. We love the cross. It was Jesus Christ shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Some churches don't talk about the cross. Ken was talking about other churches. It's not the same, or even the saving blood. We love this verse, Ephesians 1, 7, 8, and 9. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. This is a big point in Jude. He talks about 50% of the chapter has talked about this. Those who are not saved, not redeemed, they're doomed. There's some things in Jude that I'm not covering today. You can go over these later. It's only one chapter. Jude goes on to describe the behavior of the doomed. Those unsaved, they were in his church. Many were in this church. And this was 2,000 years ago. Here's his list of some of the things that were happening. Sexual perversion, polluting their bodies, reject authority, slandering teaching, feed only on themselves. And three useless bullets he made: clouds without rain, tossed by the wind, trees uprooted without fruit, waves of the sea foaming up shame, and wandering stars. Another ones were grumblers and fault finders, those that follow their own evil desires, and boasters who flatter others for their own advantage. Not my words. Every one of these are in the verses. We know who's behind all this activity. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, in the NASB, it says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan is behind all this behavior. Some of you use this commentary. We've had it in our house for years. Mr. Ironside, he said, "There's nothing new under the sun. Every form of evil now current was exposed by inspired writers in the apostles' day. Therefore, the need to contend," here's that word again, "contend earnestly, once for all delivered." And there, here's where refusing all innovations as of man or Satan. An innovation would be something I'm going to talk about in a minute, something added to the scripture, something that's not factual. All innovations, and he says they are from Satan. But the good news is nobody is forced to be doomed. This message is not just for what comes up, the redeemed, as we say. If anyone is not saved, they can get saved today, and then there'll be no more doom. The word says today is the day of salvation. So let's look at Jude's list and compare it to today. I'll go over some of these bullet points. Sin is sin, and Satan is still the ruler of this world. He's the tempter and the manipulator. And one verse says he's the father of lies. This one is very close to home in San Francisco, probably Oakland too. The sexual perversion, that's going on in public view for all to see. These people have no shame. Polluting people's bodies. They take good drugs, mix them together to create dangerous concoctions. Remember in CVS, I think, Emily, do you work at CVS? Some people work at CVS. You can go buy allergy medicines, Oxy, all this stuff right off the counter. Now everything's behind a glass wall. You go in to get a Target, you go in to get some medicine. You got to wait 10 minutes for somebody to make it, because they get mass quantities of this, have cooks that turn some of this stuff into methamphetamines, which completely destroys your face, by the way. Horrible. People reject authority. Somebody told me the other day, a friend of mine, his neighbor has a high school kid in the house, a young man. He said, "I'm not going to school, Dad. Nothing you can do about it." And he got in a beef. So they called the police. Police came. "You guys can't do anything. You can't make me go to school. You can't make me go to school." And you have complete rejection of authority from parents and law enforcement. And that's the world we live in today. Slander teachings. If you dabble in social media, which is kind of impossible to avoid, even when you're searching for an article about something, it's twisted around to promote their point of view. And it's all over online. People are ripping each other. They get very brave behind the keyboard. Just horrible, horrible. People who feed only on themselves. I would bet almost everybody in here has email. If you look tomorrow, if you're anything like my email, either in the inbox or the junk folder, I've bought an Apple Watch or McAfee for the 100th time, or the post office says, "We can't deliver your package. Click here to deliver it." Or PayPal, your account at PayPal is compromised. Click here or call us a meeting. It's all a bunch of garbage. They're all preying on all of us, victims. And a lot of older people fall for this, and some young people. They're misleading people, taking advantage of people, and they don't care. They only care about themselves. They laugh. Horrible. And then you got those other ones. So here's another one. We see this sometimes. And somebody preached about this one day. I don't know if it was Adel or somebody, but grumblers and fault finders. We have critics for everything. I think the story was Two men go to church, same message. The third party comes up. How'd you like that message? First person go, that was a great message. Good points, it really hit me. His friend goes, I didn't like that message. That guy couldn't even pronounce this word right. You can get whatever you want to get when you listen to these messages. Everybody up here speaks from the Word of God, and you can get blessed from that every time. But if you want to critique something, you could find something that I do up here or somebody else, Ms. Burnett, whatever, and you can find a critique. So when you come in here, you can have it one way or the other, and that's true. Was that you, Adel, I think, that told that story? Yeah. So we have fault finders everywhere, belittlers. And then we have follow their own evil desires. Lust is everywhere and addictions are everywhere. People get addicted to everything under the sun. Cough syrup, drugs, you name it. And then boasters who flatter others for their own advantage. We see those. So whatever would happen in June, nothing's changed, as Ironside said. We get the same problems today that we had 2,000 years ago. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's true. People are blinded out there. They don't believe the truth. Thank you for your prayers for Julie. It was on the prayer list. She's my niece. She had cancer. She had the cancer surgery, which went perfect. Thank you for your prayers. Now she's going to go into chemotherapy. So my brother Bruce, he gets a call from the hospital thinking, oh, good, I'm going to learn some more about the surgery. This is how the conversation went. Is Julie binary or non-binary? Bruce goes, what are you talking about? So the guy tried to explain it. I'm not an expert on these words. I think most people here are binary. It means we are a man or a woman, and we believe that. Non-binary, I guess you can think you are something new every day. And then the guy goes, does she use pronouns? My brother, unlike me, he can be a little bit blunt. So Bruce goes, what's that? I could just hear him say that. Does Julie use him, her, or they, or a combination when she talks about herself? People actually do that. Bruce goes, no. So the guy goes, what should we call her? Bruce, frustrated at this point, said, she's my daughter, she's a girl, her name is Julie, call her Julie. Pretty straightforward. Genesis 5:2 says, he created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. That is good enough for me. It's easy to teach. There's a lot of Sunday school teachers in here. Probably very easy. A child can understand that. It's not complicated. Man has twisted the simple verse to please their own flesh and carnal desires. So I looked it up. What were these people were talking about, and I looked up these terms for this stuff. There's a list, I'm not kidding, there's a list of 30 names that you can explain your preferences on any given day, which can change from day to day to day. And at the bottom, it says revision date. So that means if somebody comes up with a new thing, if they want to be a tree someday or something, they'll call that something else. So they're revising this, which is totally satanic, and it's sickening. And you know what I love about this book of Jude? It sits right before Revelation, as you know. And we know Revelation describes the end times for all of us, all believers and unbelievers alike. We can read Revelation, the redeemed, saved people can read it and look forward to the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb. These things are great to look forward to and are fully documented. It doesn't really leave a whole lot of doubt. And it gives us hope and confidence. Yet people, if they read that book and are unsaved, they will shudder and not want to read it anymore. Hopefully it would be sobering enough that they would get saved. So after hearing all this stuff about the doomed, Jude goes on, and he talks about perseverance, which is huge. We're not running a 100-yard dash or a 50-yard dash. With Satan, he's not going away. We're in a lifelong battle. It's a marathon, and it's not going to end until Christ returns. That's the fight we're in. And Lord willing, we want to say, as Paul did, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So like a police briefing or maybe a briefing at your company, Jude goes on with instructions on how to persevere. He says, four verses in 17 to 21, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as your wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. So his main points were there as instructions to persevere. Build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and keeping yourself in God's love. Those two words, building yourself up, that's not something you do once a week. You don't build something up once a week. It's a constant thing, building yourself up and keeping in God's love, all the while praying with the Holy Spirit. And we know there's going to be landmines, obstacles, setbacks, traps from Satan. But I just wanted to turn to the golden story of perseverance in the Bible. I know it's a long story, and I'll read it fairly quick, but it's just incredible. It's kind of a boilerplate on how to persevere. It's Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. So they prayed, they posted a guard. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of our laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we can't rebuild. So he's got opposition from within and from of his own people. And our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we would be right there among them and kill them and put an end to the work. More discouragement. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. More opposition. Okay, here's Nehemiah acting again. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. Now he brings weapons into the defense. Then I looked things over. I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, here's more encouragement, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Encouragement and hope for all his workers. When our enemies heard that we were aware of the plot, that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each returned to our own work. So they got the workers back. And from that day on, my men did the work, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted them behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried the materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked, but the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Try that sometime. Have a little sword at your hand in one hand and try to make cement with the other. They were tenacious. They also conspired later to kill him, but the Lord foiled that plot as well. Several times they tried that. And he completed the wall in 52 days. And we can persevere not by our own power at all. We have no power to persevere, but with Christ's power. He can move mountains. There's a song that says, there's so many mountains you've moved, valleys you have led me through, and it's only by your grace I'm standing here today. You are faithful. Like Taylor sang that one. Not that song, but that line. And we can do all this through Christ, my last point, because he is able. The last two verses of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen. He's available, he has ability, and he's available 24/7. We get this one on our phone. I can't help today, can't help you out. Too busy, too much going on. Especially we get this on the, how many times you call somebody, sorry, I'm unavailable right now. Please leave a message at the beep. We're unavailable a lot. You could call Christ at 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. We can pray to him. And we heard this from the worship team beautifully many times. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today, to handle anything that comes my way, to do much more than I could ever dream, and to make me what he wants me to be. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here to answer us 24/7. You are so able, Lord. We are unable without you to accomplish the things we're supposed to do. We pray for this wonderful church that we love. We pray for those that are watching on TV, those that are sick. We pray to bring them back soon to us and pray for the rest of the afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.